Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week, this show will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and your loved ones. We will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from today's subject. This is one powerful way that we, together, can make a positive difference. Now, I want you all to know that I am grateful for all of you who take your time to listen to or watch this show, and especially those that send in questions, comments, and reviews, because this show exists for you. And without those things, we can't make the adjustments necessary to have you feel like you are getting everything that you need. So now, if you haven't gotten a copy of it's a free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal, please go to the website at answers.network and download a copy, give it 21 days, and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on, what focusing on gratitude has meant to you and your loved ones. Now, I have a quote, as many of you know, this one happens to be by our guest, and that is, if passion is what starts the engine, then purpose is what drives the vehicle. And I think that that fits perfectly with our topic today, which is also the title of our guest's new book, Pause, Breathe, Choose, Becoming the CEO of Your Wellbeing. So our guest, Naz Beheshti, is an executive wellness coach, speaker, Forbes contributor, and CEO and founder of Prana Naz, a company that provides corporate wellness solutions for improving employee engagement, well-being, company culture, and business outcomes. Her clients include Nike, JP Morgan Chase, Omega Institute, Columbia University, and Stanford University. Naz is also the co-founder of Rise to Shine, a nonprofit organization that is working to alleviate the suffering of young children in Haiti. So, joining us from New York City, Naz, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you, Alan. So happy to be here.
It is my pleasure. I've enjoyed doing research into you, going through the book. And one of the things that came to mind for me was the company name of Prana Naz. And I hope that I'm pronouncing it correctly. But, you know, what is prana and why is this important?
You are definitely pronouncing it correctly. Prana is Sanskrit for life force, for breath and vital energy. And it's flowing through all of us all the time. And at times when we become stressed or overwhelmed or fatigued, our prana can get blocked. And when it's flowing freely and optimally, we're performing at the top of our game. So we want to keep that flowing energy and that breath flowing through us freely rather than letting it get blocked through, you know, all the stresses that we may be experiencing.
One of the things that I learned in doing my research is you have a very interesting story as to your own personal motivation or purpose that got you to write this book.
Yeah, I started my career in Steve Jobs' office at Apple, very young, just straight out of college. And he was highly influential, was my first mentor and boss. And he actually appeared in a very vivid dream a couple years after he had passed. And he had told me that I need to write this book in my dream. And it was a very, very vivid dream. So I took his prophetic words very seriously. And I began to write about how my first job working for him impacted my life and career and really led me to my life's passion and purpose.
One of the things that I personally enjoyed with the book was the way in which you've broken this down, by breaking it down in parts and really going into people to kind of look at themselves before really trying to steer anybody in any direction, or at least that was my feeling of it. So share a little bit about maybe how you chose to do that. And let's go right into as far as in part one, because you talk about, mastering mindfulness. And really, I feel like I was being led to making sure that before I go any further, that I'm really focusing on being my authentic self. And I thought what a great way to go into this journey. So share a little bit about how you got to that point.
Well, once we're in tuned and tapped into our authentic self, then we're able to make aligned choices and we're able to align our mind with our heart, because often we're not aligned or making aligned choices because we're living mostly in our mind and in our head, and we aren't focused or even in tune with our truest heart's desire and our authentic self, our true essence of who we are. And we just go through life on autopilot or thinking we know what we need to do because we should do something. Maybe it's because our parents want us to be a certain way, or maybe we have our own preconceived notions of what we need to do, but it's not necessarily aligned with our true passion and purpose. So by starting with a mindfulness practice and being able to kind of quiet all the chatter and chaos of like external voices and even internal, like our inner critic, we're then able to then drop deeper into our true essence and self and discover what it is that we truly, truly desire and want in our lives so that we can have a more meaningful life. And that all stems from being more mindful and in tune, self-aware with our truest desires.
I'm glad you touched on should, because I believe it might have been one of the guests many years ago that was on the show, but they touched on the fact, they said one of the biggest problems that so many of us have is that we go through life shoulding on ourselves.
Yes, exactly. There's a lot of shoulds.
Yeah. Now, and you also go into a lot of different methods, that you have specific methods that you talk about. Share a little bit about the ACE method and how can it help us kind of reframe the stress that we are experiencing in our lives, which now with, the COVID and everything that's been going on, I think our stress levels have been ramped up so high that I thought that the ACE method was one of the things that jumped out at me as something that everybody needs now.
Exactly. Truly is. It's the ACE method is really a new way of reframing stress, and it's an effective way to upgrade both your mindset and behavior. So you need both mindset and behavior shifts. And the ability to distinguish between the different kinds of stress. So I talk about acing stress using the ACE method, and there's three types of stress: acute stress, chronic stress, and eustress, which is the good stress, good energy stress. And that when you're able to distinguish between the different kinds of stress, then you're able to perceive stress as a challenge rather than an obstacle, because it all starts with awareness. So step one of acing stress is being aware of the signs and symptoms of the stressors and identifying the different type of stress, so that you could get to step two, which is then changing your mindset, which is the choice to reframe the stress using an upgraded mindset, so that you can identify your options as opportunities rather than being in a disempowered state of thinking there's no choice or you're just stuck. So you could identify your options and opportunities both in mindset and behavior, which then leads you to step three of acing stress with the ACE method, which is taking empowered and effective action. based on step one and two. So acing stress using the ACE method is a three-step method through awareness, change, and empowerment. So there's a lot of ACE, A-C-E acronyms to make it easy to remember.
That's good. I like that. And when you're talking about reframing it, would it be a good analogy from the standpoint of being able to tell ourselves that at this point in time, if I'm having stress or anxiety, that what are the benefits that happen to my body? So for instance, we know that if we're under stress, that we can have, you know, a greater vision or greater acuity or faster reflexes. So to try to just restructure it in our brain in that respect to see what are the positives that we can take out of it.
Sure. That's definitely for acute stress and eustress. So ACE method is really about toggling between the necessary stress of acute stress, which is a fight or flight response, which mm-hmm. you need because, for example, if you're crossing the street and an oncoming speeding truck or car is coming right at you, your stress, your reflex is to jump out of the way. That's your fight or flight response. So yes, that is completely necessary and it benefits you. However, chronic stress is the killer stress, which does not benefit you in any way. And that's characterized as a feeling of being helpless and hopeless and not resolving issues for greater than 6 months. So as far as using the ACE method to shift, you know, your mindset, it would be either trying to resolve those unresolved issues or like changing your environment or the situation as one of the seven A's, alter the situation or adapt to the stressor using the seven A's to try to change the situation if you can. But if not, sometimes it's not possible and you have to accept the situation. Then it's about choosing to shift your mindset around that and in choosing to accept it and make the best of the situation so that you don't have like toxic energy and thoughts around something that is just out of your control. It's like accepting that it's out of your control and you can't change it, but you can change your mindset around it. So that's where I encourage people to have an upgraded mindset to choose to see something positive out of it. It could be a learning experience. It could be testing your patience, testing, you know, compassion, whatever the situation is, and trying to find the upside of the situation.
Now, when you mentioned the chronic stress and you mentioned 6 months, is this sort of a benchmark in which if you're not able to get through this by this period of time, it's time to start looking for help?
Yes. 6 months. After 6 months, it is characterized as chronic stress. So at that point, you know, if you're unable to resolve whatever you're facing at that time, it's really best to seek help. But hopefully you don't even get to 6 months because why even, you know, spend that much time of your life in chronic stress? Because it really could lead to disease and so, you know, take a toll on your body and your mind. So wanting to even avoid that long term is 6 months.
Well, while we're talking about stress, we have a listener question that has come in. And again, I want to thank those that take the time to send these in either ahead of time because they're working, you know, during this show or in some cases during the show. This one reads, my daughter's business, a health spa, has suffered tremendously during the COVID crisis. As a result, she has experienced tremendous stress over the financial losses under the continued lockdown. I wanted to give her a book to help support her and was hoping you might tell us how your book might help individuals going through similar circumstances. And this is from Mary in New Hampshire.
Mary, thank you for your question. And I'm so sorry your daughter is going through this. It's such a tough time right now for so many people. And I'm so sorry you have to see your daughter going through this. My book, Pause, Breathe, Choose, can definitely help her in that it has over 80 proven tools, strategies that are called business hacks and action steps that she can start implementing right away in terms of improving her total well-being. So this would be mental, physical, emotional, environmental, all areas of her well-being so that she can build resilience and take care of herself and prioritize her self-care because you know, this pandemic, there's so many things out of our control and so many unknowns and so much stress around it. But when we can take care of ourselves and have the tools and strategies and habit, good habit formation around taking care of ourselves, we're able to, you know, address all the outside stresses that are less, you know, in our control when we can control our well-being. And the book can definitely help with that.
And actually, while we're talking about this, I would assume that there's links that they can get the book through the website or through Amazon or most anywhere.
Yeah, it's in all major bookstores, even independent bookstores, but you could also get it online at Amazon.com, at BarnesandNoble.com, Porchlight. It's on IndieBound. It's pretty much everywhere. So it's easily accessible.
That's great. I just want to make sure people know that you can get it wherever it is that you get books.
Yes.
And also, if you want to get more information, you know, about some of the other things that Naz has done, I'm going to give them your website as well. And so it's nazbaheshti.com. And for those of you that are driving, don't try to write this down or anything. We will have a correct spelling of it on our website. So you can go to the answers.network site and we will have all of Naz's information and how to get in touch. Now the book is also full, and what I found was, you know, it just inspiring ideas and practices, and you call them business hacks. You know, one of the ideas you suggest is to take a break every 90 minutes. Why is that particular number important?
Well, research shows that working in 90-minute intervals promotes optimal productivity. And so doing so aligns us with a deeper rest activity cycle that is embedded within all of us. And it's also similar to our sleep, our REM cycle of sleep. So same as our sleep state and our wake state, that's what research shows promotes optimal productivity. So that's the reason. Now, if you're not able to actually take a break, walk away from your desk or do something that, you know, requires you to take kind of a longer break, that's okay. You could just, you know, stretch at your seat, just move, you know, your body a bit, you know, drink some water, just like take a mental break. Also, it's, you know, optimal to, if you're like working on one task for 90 minutes, if you still need to be working, just switch tasks, just switch it up. So you're kind of giving your mind a break from one area of focus to another. So that's also considered a break from one task to another. But ideally, you're actually like getting up, moving, you know, going either for a short walk or just like taking a breather, whatever it is, just like stepping away for just a brief pause.
Yeah. And I think that makes good sense. And it's one of the things that I've incorporated as well, is the get up and walk, and specifically get up and go outside for a few minutes so that we get a little vitamin D as well.
Yes. Ideally, that would be amazing.
Now, one of the things that I know that you talk about as far as, you know, a passion and purpose, which I think is incredible. But what advice do you give for people who are having a hard time connecting with a sense of passion or purpose in their lives? And taking that thought deeper, what about those that seem to have lost or experienced a huge shift in their passion and purpose?
Well, first of all, I'll say, don't give yourself too hard of a time, because you're not alone. And so many people have, especially right now during a pandemic, have lost a lot of passion and their purpose. But the way I look at purpose is twofold. One is at a macro level, which is really finding and living your life's purpose and mission. It's basically your life's mission. So I have been fortunate to have found it. It wasn't easy. I was seeking it for, you know, over a decade till I was able to finally discover it and then pursue it. And now my passion and purpose has become my profession. So I feel very grateful for that, but it wasn't easy. And that bigger scope of purpose, if you haven't found it, I encourage you to take explorative action, which is basically taking action outside of your comfort zone, that place that inside of you that you live without fear. So you want to step out of that comfort zone and just take explorative action and, you know, discover new things, learn new things, be curious, like pretend you're a kid and, you know, let curiosity drive you, in other words. And for the other way to look at passion and purpose, or purpose in particular, is on a micro level, which is, what is your daily intent? Like, it's on a smaller level. Like, so even if you're not passionate or aren't living your purpose in your current job, for example, that's okay. Like, you can still find something and purpose within the day, within, you know, some intention that you want to strive for and live up to in that day that gives you meaning and joy. And it could be just on a smaller level until you find your bigger purpose and passion. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing. So you could still work with passion and purpose on a daily basis on a smaller level.
Now, I like that you're talking about looking inward and such. This show, and I'm very grateful for the fact we have a lot of people who fall into that category of helper bees, of people who are psychiatrists, psychologists, teachers. Some of our largest demographic, I guess, are mm-hmm. people who have made a conscious decision, or their passion and purpose has been to help others. Mm-hmm. And with this pandemic, I'm getting more and more people that I'm talking to that are getting more discouraged. One is they're not able to do that, and I guess they've not been accustomed to looking inside to go, okay, well, what else should I be doing? Or on the other end of it, I think that many people have just gotten away from taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been so focused on it that becomes their life. And now part of that's been taken away. So I love the fact that you're talking about, you know, first and foremost, look inside to find out what may still be there, or what can be there for your own personal passion and purpose.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break, but for everybody out there, if you know somebody, you're going to take a break. It'll be about a minute or so. I think this is a subject that most everybody knows somebody that could be benefiting from this too. So feel free to shoot out a quick message, a quick text, tell them how you're listening, bring them into the conversation, because this is one of those times in which most everybody can gain some benefit from what Niles is sharing with us. So we'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Answers Network.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. With us is Naz Beheshti, and we're talking about her book, Pause, Breathe, Choose, Become the CEO of Your Well-Being. Naz, one of the things that you talk about is that we all have sort of an inner coach, but also an inner critic. Share a little bit about the impact that they have on our lives.
Yeah, so like two dogs inside of you competing for attention. There is the inner coach, the good dog, and the inner critic, which is the bad dog that's barking at you all day long. That represents negativity and, you know, distress and possibly some limiting beliefs. And then the good dog represents positivity and eustress, the good stress and a growth mindset. So it's really up to us to choose to which dog we want to listen to, because the dog that you feed determines the life that you lead. So if you are feeding the good dog, you get to look through life through the lens of positivity, and you can view challenges as opportunities instead of threats. Because if you're looking through life through the bad dog's lens, then, you know, everything is going to seem like a threat. You're going to be living in a state of distress. And so we really want to harness, you know, the positive energy of the good dog and acute, you know, stress and eustress to avoid the chronic stress of the bad dog yapping in our ear all day long. So that's, we want to starve the bad dog and feed the good dog.
I absolutely love that. And to take it right into what today's happenings are, you know, please share a little bit along the lines of, in other words, turn off the news, turn off those things that are promoting negativity and divisiveness. And I've been saying this now for years, and it isn't just my show, but, you know, put on shows that are focusing on kindness, that are focusing on inclusiveness. It is out there, but unfortunately, it's not making as much noise as so much of the negativity. Now, do you find that all of this that's going on out there is keeping the negative dog barking on our head more so than the other?
Absolutely. It is if you choose to let it continue barking. So it's kind of hard to avoid the news. You want to know what's going on in the world. But it's about tuning in, learning about it, not just having it on always on the background, because it's just like a continuous cycle. Like once you hear the news or read the news, be done for the day. Like don't just let it keep going on like a, you know, a movie reel, just like nonstop. And then getting back to like processing that, but then understanding that I'm not going to feed that dog. I'm aware of it. I'm not dismissing it. So sometimes it's also like a kid having a tantrum. They want attention, right? So it's like the good dog the bad dog is yapping. The news is like a negative news cycle, which is typical, but sometimes they just want to be heard. You just want to acknowledge it. Learn from it, get the news, hear the bad dog, and then it will quiet down when you acknowledge it. That's part of meditation too, acknowledging thoughts and then letting it go. So as long as you can let it go and not harp on it and think about it too much, you know, then you're able to maintain the good dog, the inner coach, rather than get stuck on the inner critic.
Right. And in essence, what you're saying is that providing it too much attention is mm-hmm. essentially feeding it. So don't continue yep. to give it all of your attention. It reminded me actually of a kindergarten teacher that was of one of my sons, and I was the room dad in the class, and I was so impressed that, you know, she said, okay, I want everybody to come sit down in front. We're going to have reading time. Everybody sit down in front, cross your legs, and you know, and I'm going to have Mr. Cardoza come over and he's going to read such and such a book or whatever. And, you know, Billy and Johnny and some other, you know, three of the boys are still playing in the background, you know, and they're still playing with the toys. They don't want to give up playtime anymore. Mm-hmm. And rather than raising her voice or yelling at them, she started naming off each child that sat down in front. Well, look, you know, look at how Sam has sat down in the front. I'm so grateful and thankful for this. And look at how Kathy has sat down in the front. She's crossed her legs and she's ready to go. And gave the boys that were still playing, gave them zero attention, you know, or in essence didn't feed into it until the point in which they just kind of looked around like, I guess we better sit down and get that positive, because she's not feeding into this by yelling at us or, you know, getting upset about it or anything else. And I was so impressed as one of my first days in with my son you know, as a room dad. And I went, okay, this is a teacher that gets it.
I love that story. Yeah, that's so great. Cause she could have used the other approach of yelling and focusing on the negative, but she actually focused on the positive and giving positive reinforcement and rewarding the good behaviors. So then they naturally wanted to also be a part of that. Like what they were doing wasn't working, you know? So then they wanted attention. The way they're going to get attention is by practicing good behavior, because that's how the teacher was recognizing giving attention was to the good behavior. That's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah. And she recognized that if she does the opposite, eventually the other kids will start doing what those ones, because it seems like that's what gets you attention if you have kids at that age that want attention, which most of us do.
Right. Exactly.
So in going into some of the other methods, now one of them is the map method. So mm-hmm. How can that help us really focus on living our own best lives?
Well, the MAP method really brings everything together. It's a holistic framework to help you navigate your own mindful journey. So your map of authentic self-discovery, better choices, and purposeful growth, both in work and in life. And MAP is an acronym for the three parts of the book and my method, which is M is for master mindfulness, the big M. Mm-hmm. And then the A is for apply better choices to manage stress and build resilience. And they're the seven A's. And then the P stands for promote yourself to the CEO of your well-being, and the three P's. So the MAP method uses a metaphor of a map to actually chart that purposeful life.
You know, another thought, you know, in regards to when I was reading it, in regards to the concept of being the CEO of your own well-being, I feel that I am that. But I recognize that in many people, when they're talking about a particular illness or something that they're going through, and they immediately go to, well, I went to, you know, such and such a doctor who said this is going to happen. And they accept it as, you know, okay, that's the only possibility. And so I'm going to take this drug, or they'll say, well, you know, it's just age. So I accept the fact of this. And it frustrates me. And I'll say, I'm not breathing that in. Okay. You don't have to do that. You know, you can help change this, you know, just because somebody says you need to take a particular pharmaceutical drug or you need to do this doesn't mean that there's not other things you can do. You know, you can look at changing your diet. So the idea of getting people more involved, I think there's so many people that have gotten to the point to where they don't have to take an interest, much less a CEO position on themselves. And so I love, which is one of the reasons why I love the title of the book too, because it's, you know, we need to stop letting other people tell us that this is what's going to happen, because mentally they're going, okay, I guess it is.
Right. And we know ourselves better than anyone. I mean, even though we're not a doctor per se, we may not be a doctor, like have the credentials of being a doctor, but we know our body and our mind better than the doctor does, right? The doctor has all the theories and the experience and the education, and they can, you know, diagnose you and give their recommendations and based on, you know, science and what's worked. But then again, we also know ourselves better. And for us to be our own advocate is really key, because I know I've had my own experience, fair share of doctors and, you know, challenges. And just because they're in a white coat and they have the credentials doesn't mean that you also can't contribute and add to the experience, because there are many times that I caught doctors making mistakes, nurses mm-hmm. making mistakes because they were busy and they just, you know, neglected to look at my chart, for example. But I knew that, for example, I was allergic to something that they prescribed, but they didn't take the time to look through things. And I would definitely recommend that in any case, whether it's with doctors or just for yourself or alternative medicine, is to like really give yourself the benefit of being your own advocate, because you are your best advocate and you are your own doctor, really.
Yeah.
So I strongly believe that, and trust yourself and trust your instincts when it comes to your body and your mind.
Yeah, and I completely agree. And I'm not in any way trying to tell people don't listen to your doctor. That isn't my point. I'm saying that you can see three different doctors and get three different opinions.
Sure.
You know, so, or you can see a one type of doctor and then see a functional medicine doctor that is going to share something a little bit different in regards to maybe, you know, it's the same problem, but that there's a different way to go about it to resolve it. And,
right.
and then you as the CEO, you can decide which of these two directions to go that are being given to you by two very intelligent doctors. It's just, there isn't just always that one path.
Exactly. And that's why choice is a big part of, you know, pause, breathe, choose. The more choices you have, the more, you know, doctors and consults you get, including your own, when you bring it all together and think, what is it? What resonated most with me? What do I feel most comfortable with? You have more choices. If you just go to one doctor and say, okay, that's it, that's what I have to do, then you're limiting yourself. That's like a limited mindset, and you are potentially limiting possibility. And we all want more possibilities and choices when it comes to our health and our well-being. So don't limit yourself, you know, be your own advocate and go get different opinions and include your own as one of them, because your opinion counts.
Definitely. And we have another question coming in. This one reads, we're an advertising firm and our employees are individuals who thrive in the think tank group environment. Online video meeting just doesn't seem to cut it for us. And the results have been that my employees are unhappy, complaining, and losing their creative spirit. I have been looking for a resource on this topic geared more for business professionals. I ordered my copy of your book and look forward to sharing it with my staff. Do you have any thoughts you could share on our situation in the interim? And this is from Ariana in California.
Thank you, Ariana, for your question. I get this a lot when I'm coaching my executive clients. So I do one-on-one executive coaching, and they're all also having challenges engaging, re-engaging their team. And a lot of people, their team members have lost that engagement and kind of creativity and passion for work. So a lot of times I recommend, and this has helped, is to have more virtual like gatherings, like virtual coffee dates or, you know, happy hours. I know people are Zoomed out and they probably don't want to be in front of the screen much longer, but creating that connection and increasing company morale and team morale, like getting back to team building, is only works when you actually put the time in and show that you care and put time into like getting everyone to connect more outside of work. And it's not only about work in the pandemic, it's about reconnecting, taking that water cooler chat online in some way, since we can't do it in person. So we have to be thankful, although we're, you know, very Zoom fatigued, we have to also be thankful that actually we have this opportunity, because many years ago we didn't. And so imagine if we were trying to connect just through the phone and we couldn't even see each other's faces. So I say, you know, be grateful. Let's be grateful and use the technology we have to our advantage. And it won't seem like Zoom fatigue if they're actually having fun and doing something that they really want to do. And that would be re-engaging with their team. And I have a ton of different activities you can do that would be fun, that are team building. And also another recommendation is to have spontaneous check-ins, one-on-one spontaneous check-ins. Mm-hmm. So instead of like, you know, this would be equivalent to having an open door policy at work where people can just walk in and ask you, you know, whatever they need, but having a spontaneous check-in via Zoom, like drop them a text or a Slack or however you communicate internally and say, do you have a few minutes to catch up, to chat? And just check in with them and ask them, how are you? Like, what's new and good with you? And it doesn't necessarily have to be about work. So re-engaging them to show that you care and that you're there to truly listen and support them, because people are not feeling supported in this very isolated environment. And the best thing you could do is to support them by listening to them and taking the time to show that you really care, and then re-engaging them with the team.
And you mentioned that you have some tools and some games and such. Are these things that are on your website?
No, that's when you hire me to work
okay.
with me.
Okay. No,
but okay. I can offer, I mean, there are, you know, just some in terms of like, here's one. There's an app called Donut, for example, that you can use to pair up team members, and you could also be included in this and have, you know, weekly, monthly, quarterly connection with them and have an icebreaker or some topic to promote some kind of conversation, but it would be something unrelated to work. And then, you know, just rotate. So everybody gets their chance to meet with someone one-on-one, or you could do it as a group, but just making sure that communication using apps or even just like picking a name out of a hat, but just like connecting people and having a conversation starter, that could be a recommendation. They can choose to use it or not. But just giving them, I don't know, 15 to 30 minutes, whether it's weekly or biweekly, to connect with each other.
That's great. So you can set them up to have donut time without the negative part of the sugar or anything.
Yes, exactly. It's just an app, like donuts and coffee, just to take a break and have some meaningful conversation and connection.
I like it. So everybody out there, donuts and coffee, that's actually good for you.
Without ingesting it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you talk about how important it is to be able to pivot and let go. And I think this is actually one of my own issues. So I can use this one personally. So anybody else out there, listen up. But give us an example of what doing that looks like, to be able to pivot and let go. Because I know that I have that problem, and there's probably lots of other people as well.
Right. Well, if you have a goal and something isn't working, you're not able to get to that goal, I always say first, don't change the goal, change your approach to that goal. So keep changing the approach until you achieve that goal. However, sometimes it's just not possible to achieve the goal in the way that you are attached to that specific outcome. So at that point, it might behove you and the company to pivot, because maybe that goal wasn't the right goal. But I'm not one to give up. So I'm not saying that if it doesn't work, give up and, you know, pivot. This is only after you've tried many multiple approaches. So again, remember, don't change your goal, change your approach. But if you're still not reaching that goal, that would be a time to reevaluate what that goal is and perhaps either change the goal, alter the goal a bit, and if you've tried that and it's still not working, then it could be time to let go and pivot.
So how does that differ from disconnect to reconnect?
Disconnect to reconnect is more about disconnecting from all electronic devices and things okay. that, you know, is preventing you from tapping into your authentic self. So sometimes you just need to get offline, go out to the park, or get re-engaged with nature, reconnect with nature to then, so disengage, disconnect to reconnect with yourself.
Good. Yeah, I think that's also huge, especially now.
Yes, we all need to disconnect to reconnect. I mean, this is for our own self-care, for our, you know, our overall well-being. We need this more than anything right now, especially now that remote work and working at home, all the lines between work and life have completely blurred. So there really needs to be a disconnect. And preferably it's at the end of each business day, and that your business day doesn't just go on all night long. And then, you know, the only time you're disconnecting is when you're sleeping. Hopefully you're actually choosing to disconnect, reclaim your calendar and your time, and disconnect at a certain, you know, anywhere between, I don't know how everyone has different work schedules, but somewhere around 6 or 7, even earlier, depending on when you start, but there needs to be a time to disconnect.
Yeah, else. Completely agree. Now, it's interesting because we're talking about this, but at the same time, you say in your book that pain is our greatest teacher for growth. So how so? And if that's the case, we should all have gained a lot of IQ points in 2020.
Absolutely. Well, we probably have if we've chosen to listen to our inner coach and choose to look at challenges and, you know, challenges, problems, all our stresses as opportunities for growth. So pain is on a big spectrum, right? And we all experience pain in different amounts, in different ways. It's very non-linear. So when we experience pain, it is our choice to choose to continue suffering for, you know, endless amounts of time, or kind of reclaim that pain, see what it's taught us, treat it as a teacher for growth so that we could evolve, like really grow and evolve as a result of that pain. Because if we don't find the good or the lesson, maybe not so good, but the lesson in that pain, it's kind of like we went through that pain in vain. Like what was the outcome of that pain besides suffering? Like we want to shift being in a state of suffering and a disempowered state to an empowered state of choosing to find some sort of lesson or opportunity or good as a result of that pain.
So, and unfortunately, we are just about out of time, but, what would you say is the main message? Is that if people were going to read the book, what's the main message you would like to see readers have as their takeaway from it?
That you truly have the power and the choice to be the CEO of your well-being and truly take charge of all the areas of your life so that you can live your best life.
All right. Well, I'm gonna hand you the magic wand. And so with this magic wand, you can make one change right now in people's psyche, in the world, whatever. What is the one thing that you would choose to do that you feel would make the biggest difference right now for all of us?
That's a great question. I would choose to encourage everyone to commit to a mindfulness practice, specifically meditation, so that you can gain greater inner peace and clarity and creativity, energy, overall well-being. I find that meditation or a mindfulness practice, whatever that means to you, really you could really benefit from it, both in mind, body, and spirit. And we really need greater peace at this time in our life.
Definitely. Definitely. And the beauty of that is that this is something that we can all do. It doesn't cost anything. You know, it's, it's free. You go out, you sit in nature and you find your peace. So thank you for that. I think that's excellent. I think it would help all of us. And thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for putting the book out. And please stay in touch and keep doing what you're doing, because we need more people like you.
Oh, thank you so much, Alan. It was a pleasure to be here.
All right. And for everybody out there, please join us next Monday when we are joined by Darby Fox, the author of Rethinking Your Teenager, Shifting from Control to Conflict, and to Structure and Nurture to Raise Accountable Young People. And please visit our archives of past interviews at Answers Network. It's answers.network. And you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and many other popular podcast platforms. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It'll help us reach more people, and it is greatly appreciated. And again, as I keep saying, if we can get more people to be watching and getting involved in positive focused shows, that's how we're going to make a difference in everybody's lives. So for everybody out there, continue to be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.